For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh a divided wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in peace in place of the two, so making peace and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
It's really good. And Noel is going to come up and share a message with us. Why don't I just pray for him before he starts? Lord, we thank you that your word never comes back to you void. We pray for these words that Noel is going to share with us, that you would bless them, open our ears, help us to hear what you're speaking to us, Lord. And thank you that you can speak through any one of us and that you are good. And we pray that you would be glorified. In your name, Jesus. Amen.
Good morning, church. As we were listening to the VBS, I was thinking if we're part of the VBS, I didn't need to make this talk this morning. So, do you hear me? Is it good? Okay, thank you. We were sharing the peace of God today, and I was seeing the big smiles on every face. And I was wishing if you could share this peace outside the walls of this church. And that is the message that I'm going to talk about today. You know, we are studying Ephesians these days, and the book of Ephesians, basically, it talks about the core of what it means to be a Christian, both in faith and in practice. We are going talk about Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 to 22. And in the previous chapter, before this, in the last two Sundays, we have seen about the reconciliation, individual reconciliations of ourselves. And today we are going to talk about the corporate reconciliation, how God saved us and made us one. So as I speak, I see lots of people from various backgrounds. And I see Jack, who's from the Jewish background, which is a good thing, because we are going to talk about this more. So in verse 14, for he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. So we are going to talk about these two groups, and these two groups are the Jews and the Gentiles. The Jews being the most favored ones, the beloved ones, and the Gentiles are the rest of the people, the rest of the world. in Hebrews, the word used for Gentiles is goy, and the plural is goyim, and it literally means all nations, everyone who is not from Jewish descent, which includes me and which includes all of us. And the Jews were the most blessed people, as I said. And in Romans verse chapter 9, verse 4 to 5, it says, the people of Israel, theirs is the adoption to sonship. Theirs the divine glory, the covenants, the receiving of the law, the temple worship, and the promises. Theirs are the patriarchs, and from them is traced the human ancestry of the Messiah, who is God over all, forever praised. Amen. So Jews had everything. They had scriptures. The scriptures were given to them. They had patriarchs. They had temple worship. They had sacrifices. They had priesthood. And even Messiah was Jewish. And if you read through the previous verses in chapter 2, verse 11, he uses circumcised and uncircumcised people, the circumcised being the Jewish and uncircumcised are the rest of the Gentiles. It's a derogatory term, uncircumcised, and an expression of contempt. If you remember the story of David and Goliath, David refers to Goliath as, you uncircumcised Philistine, you defied the armies of God, I'm coming to get you. So it was like looking down on a non-Jewish person. And the Jewish, historically, culturally, they never wanted to mix up with the Gentiles. They thought they were unclean people. So, and to the extent that the animosity, the enmity between them was to the level where they've thought that the Gentiles were made to be the fuel of the fire of hell. They would not assist the childbirth of a Gentile, thinking that they would help a sinner in the world. Jews would take their sandals off if they would pass through the Gentile land, and then they would shake the dust away. The hatred was to the level that if a Jewish girl would marry a Gentile boy, the Jewish family would conduct her funeral on the same day, saying she's dead for them. And even if you go to an ancient synagogue, basically Judaism was about separations and not inclusions. So even the synagogue encounter, if I want to describe the synagogue, so if the higher grounds, these are the higher grounds, only the priests could come on this, and then priest has to be from the ancestry of Levi. Only those people were allowed there. And then there was the next chamber, let's say, of our church here, the men. So only men, a Jewish man could come there. And then you go out of the doors. So the next chamber was for the Jewish ladies. So the Jewish ladies were far off there. And then let's say if I say, oh, okay, I will adopt Judaism. I will convert to Judaism because I want to be close to God. No, so I would be called a proselyte. So there is a separate chamber for a proselyte. Still, he can't go to the... And then behind those curtains were the holiest of holies, where the chief priest would go only once in a year. So there was no way that a Gentile... So where do the Gentiles go? So you go down the steps further, and then further beyond there was a big wall, about 4.5 feet tall, and the Gentiles would be beyond that. So if you have to come to the temple, you probably have to bring your binoculars to see what's going on inside. But still, you would not be able to see and meet God behind the curtains. So, and then behind those walls, not only that, there were some inscriptions they found, and you can find them in Istanbul, Turkey, or Jerusalem, in Israel. The death inscription, they would say. And it would read, no foreigner beyond this barricade. anyone who is caught doing so will have himself to blame for his ensuing death. So a death warrant if you cross those walls. But the good news is that Jesus Christ broke all those walls. On the cross, on the work on the cross, he did not let us come all the way here. He came down to there. He came to us, and he saved us. When Jesus was on this earth preaching, he was preaching among the Jews, if you remember. But the message was for the Gentiles as well, which the disciples even didn't understand. And if you remember, on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came, it came to all the Jews. And Peter even didn't understand. So if you go back and read Acts chapter 10, very interesting story. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. I wish I could, but you wouldn't allow me probably. I have short time here. So Peter was in Joppa, and God was preparing him to give the message. So this was about 10 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus had gone, disciples were the ones who were preaching, and they were preaching to the Jews only. And now God is preparing Peter to go to the Gentiles as well, and Peter was not accepting it. So he shows him the big curtain, and there are all sorts of animals, all sorts of unclean animals. And he said, Peter, take and eat. And Peter said, no. Three times he...
This is gone. Okay.
Sorry about that. I'm not so used to this, but anyway. So three times he said, no, I won't touch an unclean animal. So who are these unclean animals? We are the Gentiles. And God said, no. What I have made clean, you cannot say unclean. This is in chapter 10. And so God said, what God has made clean, you must not call profane. And so Cornelius was a centurion from Italian cohort. And he was praying, and God told him to go and fetch Peter and bring him home so that he can preach to you. So he sent men, and Peter was prepared. God had prepared him. And this was the first time Peter preached to the people, to the Gentile people. And the Holy Spirit came upon them with tongues. And Peter was amazed himself that God loves the Gentiles the same, the way he loves the Jewish people. And he confessed, actually, if you read in chapter 28, chapter 10, verse 28, he confessed that you yourself know that it is unlawful for a Jew to associate with or to visit a Gentile, but God has shown me that I should not call anyone profane or unclean. So, and then Paul comes in. Paul started his ministry among the Gentiles. And he was actually called the prophet, the disciple of the Gentiles. And this is what he's talking in these verses, that we are no more different. We were two nations, Jews and Gentiles. Now we are one church. We are one body, one body of Christ. And in verse 13, he starts, but now. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near, the next slide, by the blood of Christ. He starts this verse by, but the previous one, the previous slide. But now there is hope in this, in spite of everything. but now you have been saved by the blood of Christ. The cross of Jesus is a great reconciler. The blood of Christ has brought us together. We were sinners, but now we are washed by his blood. John Newton says in the song, "I once was blind, but now I see. Was lost, but now I'm found." The exclusions are always very hard to take. The rejections are very hard to take. But inclusions are always, they always feel good. We lost health, we are accepted in heaven. We were excluded by the circle of our friends, but we are accepted in heaven. We were excluded by our family, accepted in heaven. Demoted at work, rejected at work, but accepted in heaven. Pushed off social media, but accepted in heaven. We are on the greatest plan ever hatched. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. So I want to congratulate all of you. We are a part of the church of God. We are one body. Galatians chapter 3, verse 28 says, "There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. No black or white, brown or yellow, male or female, Jew or Gentile, rich or poor, educated or uneducated, sophisticated or unsophisticated, we are all one. We were alienated, but now we are reconciled. We were separated, but now we are unified. We had no hope, but now we have peace." Let's move forwards, verse 15. Verse 15 says, "By setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations, his purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility." So he abolished all the commandments. He's not talking about the Ten Commandments. He's talking about the ceremonial laws that the Jews were following, like circumcision, ablutions, the preparations of prayers, keeping the Sabbath, so on and so forth. His cross has paid the penalty of the law. It not only abolished the law, but created a new humanity, a new man, the church. Ecclesia in Greek. Paul has used this term 60 times in his writings. The new church, the church made of us, the people, including the Gentiles and the Jews. We are washed by the blood of Christ. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. He made peace not only between the Jews and Gentiles, but with each one of us, each. And in verse 14, he says, "Jesus is our peace." In verse 15, he says, "Jesus made peace." And in verse 17, "Jesus preached peace." Jesus himself is our peace, means his presence is our source of peace. So when we were sharing our peace together this morning, my thoughts were that we should go out of these boundaries and share his peace, because what we have got is awesome, is beyond imagination what he has done for us. We need to go out in our workplace. Okay. So just think and think about this, that when we go out today, during the week, can we share our peace with others with the same smile that we are saved by the grace of God? Paul calls Jesus as the Lord of peace. In 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 16, it says, peace at all times and in every way. When you remember when Jesus left his disciples, he said, peace I leave with you and my peace I give you. This is in John chapter 14, verse 27. And the same peace was announced by the angels when Jesus was born. When they said in Luke chapter 2, verse 14, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. We are the people on whom his favor rested. We praise God for that. We are no more strangers, but dwelling of God. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. Now, there are three graphic images that Paul has used. And so I'm going to say those just to emphasize what he did for us. First of all, he says that we were strangers, we were foreigners, but he gave, so how many, so he became, he made us the citizens of the kingdom of heaven. How many are here people who are foreigners, like who are immigrants? Yeah. So I remember when we were processing the coming over to Canada, our papers, it was such a painful process, very lengthy process. They would check all our things. I don't know, people from England, they might not have gone through that, but coming from the third world meant that they would check everything, your police check, your degrees would be checked, your everything. They will make sure that you were the good people who are coming to Canada. And then took years, like 3 years or more, waited, prayed, and then we got the visas, and then we celebrated, and all the people came, all the relatives came, oh, they are going to Canada. That was a big deal. And then we came here, Canada, then we had to do another few years before we could get the citizenship. And when we got the citizenship, there was a big interview and everything, went through the process, and dressed ourselves very nicely the day when we were getting the citizenship. If you remember, then we had some pictures and snaps and celebrated, went out to eat. And that was a great day. We got the citizenship of Canada. Well, what about the citizenship of the heaven? God got us that citizenship. Something that we have to be proud of. All the time. Not once. All the time. We are now the citizens of heaven. And then he doesn't stop there. The second thing he talks about is the household, family. He made us the members of his family. Now, I see the families here, the little kids, they don't care what's happening. If they want anything, they will go straight to Matthew. Dad, I want this. That's it. You don't have any barriers. You don't have to do those rituals come close to God. We are his sons. We are his children. We can go to him anytime. We don't need any time. Middle of the night, you have any concerns, get up, talk to God. We have these phones all the time. We talk to our beloveds, our children. we need to click and get connected. For God, we don't even need to click. Just close your eyes and you're connected with God. It has become so easy. And he listens to us. All our needs, all our needs, not the bigger things, even the smallest of the thing, even if we think it's a very stupid thing, bring it to God. He will listen to you. And the third thing he talks about is the holy temple of God. I just put the last slide on, the picture. Yeah, so I took this from one of the university buildings here while passing. So he says that you are the holy temple of God. The foundation was built upon the apostles' and prophets' teachings. And the building stones, the stones, the bricks that you see, they're of different colors, the black and the brown, and all the shades of brown, which includes me as well. And then you see the cornerstone on the arch, the middle stone, is the cornerstone, which holds the arch and holds all the building. That's Jesus. And he has made us one temple. And who dwells in that temple? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit dwells in this temple. We were aliens, but we have become citizens. We were strangers, but we have become family. We were idolaters, but we have become the temple of the true living God. We praise God for that. Our world is getting darker by the day because the message of hope is not proclaimed. There is lack of Christian influence and lack of gospel impact. Christ is our peace in the church, in our families, and that's the message that we need to take further on. Are we showing the good news of Jesus Christ so people can find peace in their hearts? We need harmony in our church, in our family, and in our nation. And this can only be achieved with Christ in the center of everything. God bless you.